Real quick, we have to take a break to acknowledge the sponsor of today's episode, which is Secret Nature. Secret Nature's ultra premium CBD gummies are crafted with real botanicals, nothing extra, and designed to fit right into your day with clean, purposeful functionality. So for me personally, I like to take one of their snoozer gummies in the evening to unwind and ensure that I get a good night's sleep. After a long day, especially when my brain is just still running a mile a minute and I can't seem to settle down, I'll take one to help me slow down, unplug, and actually get a good night's sleep. I personally don't drink alcohol because I just don't like the way it makes me feel the next day, but these gummies feel very clean, intentional, and it never leaves me groggy the next morning, just feeling balanced and rested. Secret Nature's gummies are organic and farm grown. They're never lab made. They're ultra premium CBD gummies made with real botanicals and nothing extra. You've got two purpose built options. There's Bliss for clear focus and productive flow if you want to take one during the day, and then you get Snoozers to help you relax and rest at the end of the day. Each gummy has consistent, measured CBD, so there's never any guessing, just clean, reliable functionality that fits naturally into your schedule. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with the code MAMA. That's M-A-M-A. And just a heads up, their Black Friday sale is coming up, and they are going to be offering 25% off on orders of $75 or more, 35% off on orders of $125 or more, and then 40% off on orders of $150 or more between November 26th and the 30th. So don't forget to use my code MAMA when you check out. That's M-A-M-A at secretnature.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things that people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit progressive.com to see what you can save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Hey, it's Paris. You know I love sparkly things, right? Like stars. Duh. And thanks to Hilton and Auto Camp, I just slept under them. Picture me serving looks by the fire outside my luxurious Airstream, making s'mores with the kids, while a national park is our backdrop. The great outdoors meets Hilton hospitality. That's hot. Explore all the new ways to stay at Hilton.com. Hilton for the stay.
It's summer. Time to enjoy long days, lazy nights, and great food. Because Uber Eats has deals all summer long. So, when hunger strikes, don't sweat it. Delicious deals are just a tap away on Uber Eats. Enjoy all your favorite grocery items delivered straight to you. Get ice cream, soda, and snacks from your favorite stores like Wegmans and CVS and make the most of every moment. Now that sounds like a good summer. Order now on Uber Eats. Terms apply. Product availability varies by region. See app for details.
Welcome back to another Mama Minute. Austin and I are sitting down. Austin has a glass eye. You want to explain how you found this glass eye?
I didn't find it, Kelly. My grandpa in 1944, I believe it was 44, was in the hedgerows of Normandy in battle for our country and peeked around a corner and then a German shot his left eye out and somehow he lived. Takes off running back to a medic and gets a glass eye. And my dad gave me one of him. There's four of them. And it's interesting, over the course of his life, they added more veins to the eye. And so, like, my dad was like, hey, don't take that one, because there was a bunch of veins, and it was, like, one from later in his life. But I took one that he probably wore, I don't know, I'm estimating in his 30s. And now, I'm watching you.
Can we just go ahead and do this Mama Minute now?
Let's go.
Okay, so Mama Minutes, you guys know we just talk about other stuff that is not related to true crime, and we've gotten some writer submissions, some listener submissions.
So if you like us for who we are, keep listening. And if you like us for just crime, Skip then don't it. Listen. And let's go, Wib.
So we got a lot of listener write-ins. I actually had to kind of like weed through some because we got so many. And we're going to have to save some of them for another episode. But I picked some that I think would be good for today. If you would like to write us a suggestion, a topic, if you want advice, you'll kind of get the gist of it when you listen to this episode. But if you want to contribute to the next one, go to mamamystery.com. Scroll down. There's a form. You can send us a message right there.
And it'll be anonymous. So say all the crazy stuff you want. Let's go, girl.
Okay, so the first one says, this is for a Mom a Minute episode and is out of pure curiosity. Austin doesn't have to answer this if it's personal, but I was wondering what the tattoo on his arm says. It looks like Proverbs. Is it a favorite Bible verse? I would love to hear the meaning behind it. Love you guys. Mary Rose D.
Cool.
So take it away,
Austin.
How
did anybody even see my arm?
Because you're on my stories all the time.
Okay, so we have Proverbs 20:13, which was the first tattoo I ever got. And it translates to learn to love sleep and you will grow poor. Mm-hmm. And I think that's dope.
Yeah. And do you want to elaborate on the meaning?
Yeah. So, I mean, I like sleep. We all like sleep. But like if you get too carried away and you become lazy, you're going to be poor. Mm-hmm. You got to work hard. So anyways, I just think it's a good core value. It's a good, thing to live by. Mm-hmm. And then Proverbs 14:23 says hard work results in profit, whereas mere talk results in poverty. Speaks for itself. You got to work hard. You got to take action. You can't just talk the talk. You got to walk the walk.
Actions speak louder than words.
100%. So anyways, Proverbs 20:13 and Proverbs 14:23. I got it flipped upside down right there. And I had this idea one time of going all the way around my forearm with like this band of like continued verses. And then I thought that that's a little too hardcore for me. So here I am. I got the two of them.
Yeah, and then you've got the one on your shoulder, which is pretty cool.
I got a shoulder piece, which is like without getting too into it, because there's like a lot of angles you could go with it. It's very much, it revolves around an art piece that my friend Sage, who blew up in art, created. And it's about, it's the Statue of Liberty giving a peace sign, right? And it's like, what if the media reported peace and what if it was about positivity? And behind it, you can see the stock market going up and it says success with newspaper articles. And then there's an American flag, which I get asked if I'm military. I'm not. I just like America. Don't love things going on right now in America, but I love America. And then there's a chess piece and it's a pawn with a king shadow on it, which I'll let you all infer your own thing with that interpretation because I think there's a lot that could be said there. Mm-hmm. And then around the top, it says, anything in life worth doing, it's worth overdoing. Moderation is for cowards.
And that really is such a testament to just Austin. You just never do anything in moderation. You go big or go home. That's
thank you. So anyways, that's a reminder to myself. So that's all my tats.
I love it. All right. Are we on to the next one?
Unless you want to share about your tats.
I've got a lot of tats, but I don't really want to talk about them.
Bad tattoos.
Some of them are kind of just dumb. Like I got a gun on my foot that Austin will never let me live down. And honestly, that's fair because it's stupid. When I was 21 and I was an idiot in Nashville.
Looks like you're working in a dirty industry.
Whoa. Cool your jets. I have never and would never, but I do have a gun on my foot. So that's kind of a silly one. I don't know. I've got a bunch of tattoos, but
let's not talk about them.
Yeah. Okay, so the next question we have is a topic suggestion for Mom a Minute. I'm a first-time mom, and my son has just turned 3 months old. I was wondering if you had any advice on how not to lose yourself on being a mom, other than listening to your podcast on our daily walks. I feel like I have no time to do the things I enjoyed before I had my son, such as reading. I love spending time with my son and living in the UK. I'm lucky I get to take 9 months off work, but sometimes I wish I had half an hour to just do something for me.
Oh, God, you take that. You can relate to that so much.
Yeah. So, man, we just had our fourth kid 3 months ago also. So I totally relate to where you're at right now, having a 3-month-old. It's one of those things where it's like I never want to set her down. But then at the same time, I realize I need to take time for myself sometimes. And I'm very big on you cannot pour from an empty cup. And so that guilt, I've really done a lot of work to overcome the guilt of taking time for myself because I just realized that I'm not as good of a person, as good of a mom as I could be if I'm not taking care of myself also. So finding the balance has been hard and it's been a struggle, but it's just something you have to be very mindful about. Like, you're at least working towards that. You mentioned that you love reading. I don't know if audiobooks are an option for you or if you're into that kind of thing, but you know, a lot of times I will, I've kind of made this routine for Ellie when it's time for bed. I go into her room, turn the lights down. I start getting her settled down for bed, you know, and I put, ear pods in my ears and I just listen to either a podcast or maybe a book or I'll scroll on TikTok. But while she's sleeping on me, it's kind of like I get to do both things, like do a little something for myself to just wind down while I'm holding a sleeping baby. You just got to get it when you can.
It's a good piece of advice.
Yeah. And then same thing with walks. Like if it's just you and the baby taking a walk, then maybe you could wear some headphones and listen to a book or listen to something that you're interested in. And don't feel guilty about that. Just really try to give yourself grace. And when you need to take time for yourself, you have to do it. If you have help, ask for it. If you have a husband or a parent that lives nearby or someone that can help you, really lean into that. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
You've gotten better at that.
It's taken a lot of work because I think my ego was constantly getting in the way. But then I just realized like there's nothing more important than overall really my sanity. Like if I don't have my sanity, then I'm good for nothing. So, just finding balance is hard, but I'm with you and it will get better and you'll figure it out. It might take a little bit, but you'll get there.
Yeah. I think that was great advice. The only thing I would add is just, not trying to give like hardcore parenting advice, but I guess that's kind of what we're doing here. So I'd just say, make sure you're sleep training that baby. So then you can get at least at the minimum, you set your baby down at the end of the night and you get to have, when it's Kelly's case, your time in the bath and lay down in bed and relax. I just know so many people that say, I'm going to have my baby sleep with me or whatever. And I'm like, sheesh. I don't know. It just doesn't work for us. I'm not saying we're perfect. We're right. That just, man, that wouldn't work for us. We got to have at least a little wind down time at the end of the day for us.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, next one. This one is really good. I feel like this one might take a minute. This person writes, youth sports. Are we getting too serious too quickly? Positive ways to handle your own children, other children, parents, and coaches. How do you foster growth in a sport they love positively? How to deal with your child not getting selected or getting booted off a team due to their skill level?
Dang, this is...
I've been there.
back to like whole parenting, though. I was just going to say, I don't know. It's always funny giving parenting thing. I guess people listening to us, at least they like us enough to listen. So it's not like they can be real offended or, oh my God, they're so wrong. But we don't know anything as much as you don't.
Well, and you know, obviously there's no one right answer, but we have experienced this ourselves. Mm-hmm. First with Jack, because when he was like kindergarten and first grade, he was into flag football. This was before he broke his arm and quit playing because he had to quit because of that. But prior to that, I mean, even kindergarten. So he was on a football team. And then when I tried to get him on the same team the following year, they wouldn't allow him to be on the team because he didn't go to the same school as most of the kids on the team, even though it didn't matter the year prior. And that was something that was a really hard pill to swallow. And that was our first experience dealing with, you know, not being selected on a team and essentially getting left out. And when it's your kid getting left out, it is really hard not to take that shit personally.
Let me say this real quick.
It's really hard not to get upset.
Before you continue, I'll let you continue your whole piece. I will say, at the root of this, Kelly and I can agree on a lot, but we do have a little bit, I think there's a little bit of us seeing this differently. And I think it might be the emotional attachment of being a mother. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a little more compassion, emotional attachment than I would. So you share your piece and then I'll share my piece.
Well, and let me just say that that was our first experience with not being selected on a team, but this was a recreational team. This was not a competitive team. This wasn't, they weren't going to win anything other than maybe a participation medal at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. And they were in kindergarten and first grade. So that was our first experience. It happened again with T-ball and basketball. And so we kind of started getting used to like, okay, this is just how some people do things. Okay. Like, you know, this was our first real dip in that water. And then fast forward to last summer, Kennedy was playing competitive soccer. So Kennedy is our 10-year-old and she was playing competitive soccer. And then this was her first year playing competitive. Now Kennedy is not a very competitive girl, but she was kind of recruited to be on this team because her coach from the previous year on her rec team thought that she would be good playing competitive. So the intentions were good. The intentions were there. So she played that first season. And then at the end of the season, when it was time to try out again for the following season, we all kind of had to sit down and be like, listen, I don't think competitive is really for her because she just doesn't have that dog in her. Like, she just wants to go and have fun with her friends and play and
she's
run
socialize.
And socialize. Yeah. And like, she loves her team and she likes the game, but
coaches.
But she wasn't the girl to cry over losing. She wasn't the girl to cry over not getting a pass or whatever. Like, she just wasn't taking it that seriously. So when it came time for the next season and tryouts and the coaches were like, listen, we think she might be better suited for a rec team. It was a tough pill to swallow, but for me, it was more tough because I was like, damn it, she like has all these friends. Like, I just didn't want her to lose her friendships. Mm-hmm. And so at the time, it was tough, but truly, I made peace with it. And I resolved to the fact that this was probably a God thing. We were about to have a baby. And the idea of playing competitive soccer and
meaning
being
travel.
In Kansas City, yeah, like an hour away from home every weekend. All you don't know how many games they're going to play each weekend, what the time is going to be between those games. So you're like wasting your whole weekend for a sport that your kid isn't super passionate about. I really kind of had to just come to terms with that, that like, this really just isn't the best for our family. As much as it stung at the time, I think I got over it pretty quickly because it was kind of like, well, she doesn't even really want to play competitive anyway.
So I'll say, I think where you are now is more where I am. I think that initially we didn't see exactly eye to eye on it. It comes down to that for me. How serious is your kid's passion for it? How good are they? And are they competitive? And do they belong on a competitive team? And I believe if you're going to sign up for a competitive team, you better be super cool with, and not only cool with it, but like embracing of giving up your entire weekends, of all of that stuff. And if your kid wants to do that and you want to do that and everybody's passionate about that, then awesome. If you're half-assing it, you need to be in a rec league.
Yeah.
And you need to completely be cool with the fact that, like, this isn't that serious. Then I think, you know, whatever. It's a rec league. You're a kid. You're embracing sports. Then I think there's probably some coaches and parents who take it way too serious. I think in the contrary to that, there's coaches and parents or parents and kids who don't take competitive serious enough. And I would say, you tell me if you disagree after this, I would say when we got into competitive with Kennedy, both of us, and even more so you, but both of us maybe didn't understand the severity of what you're signing up for when you're signing up for competitive.
Yeah, just how big of a commitment it really is.
Yeah, if Kennedy was a dog and was like, oh my gosh, I'm into this, and she was excited and wanted to go to practice because she wanted to be practicing and wanted to practice outside of practice, then great, let's do it. Mm-hmm. But with where Kennedy's passion was for it, I'm sitting here like, this is silly how serious they're taking this.
Yeah.
But I respect it because they have kids that are screaming and pissed off because they missed something and they want to be and they want to win. And like, mm-hmm. if you got that dog, cool. If you don't understand it, I guess just know the place for what you're doing and know the league you're signing up for. And
but I guess that kind of answers the question of, are we getting too serious too quickly? It really kind of depends on your child. Like, if your child is taking it seriously, then yeah, foster that and foster their love for what they're passionate about.
And know
but
that
if they're not that serious, don't try to force it or you're going to burn them out and they're going to hate it and resent it.
For sure. And if you sign up for competitive, respect the fact that if you're in a situation like us where we're like, this is like, I kind of chuckle because they take it so serious. And we're talking about 10-year-old girls. Okay. So I kind of chuckle. However, contrary to that, I respect it because if you want to be competitive and you want to see what that's like and you want to be the best you can be, then I think you do have to start those serious habits and showing up for practice and on time and doing blah, blah. You have to. I just think it's silly only because we don't have a kid that wants to embrace it like that. So to me, it truly is silly. I think if you're talking to me in a few years and one of our kids is different and they're extremely into it, then maybe I'm all in like that. And I'm like, yeah, let's take it serious. But right now I laugh because it's 10-year-old girls, but whatever.
Yeah. So part of the question also was, how do you foster growth in a sport that they love positively? And so I see that because, you know, a lot of our friends that were on that soccer team, so I can just think of a few of them who loved the sport, but maybe didn't always want to go to practice. So you kind of get that pushback of like, they're great players, they love the sport, but practice isn't fun. I mean, mm-hmm. those are just things you kind of have to like deal with as they come. Not every kid is going to want to do the practice part. They just want to do the fun part. Mm-hmm. And so, like, how do you balance not burning them out on something that they actually really do enjoy?
You don't take it way more serious than they are and be a prick. Mm-hmm. Like, have you seen them? There's all kinds of reels and shorts and stuff where it's like you wonder why your kid hates baseball. And it's like it shows a dad and they're making a joking impression. They're like, get in the truck. You got your bat. What are you doing? Get out there. And they're screaming at him during practice and they're screaming at him during games. That's so stupid, in my opinion.
Especially at this age. Like, there were some games we would go to and there would be dads on the sideline barking at their daughters and being like, what were you thinking? And I'm like, oh my gosh, if my dad ever talked to me like that, maybe I'm just more sensitive, but these are 9 and 10 year old girls. I mean, check yourself. There's not a college scholarship
at risk. There's no money on the line. There's no nothing. If you're yelling from the sideline, okay. I think if you're yelling from the sideline at your 10 year old during practice or games, I think it's silly personally, especially in a game. Mm-hmm. You have practices during the week. Practices are their chance to critique, or their chances to get better, or their chances to improve. When it comes game day, here's my opinion, and I could be wrong with other people with this, but this is how I live and this is my opinion. When it comes game day, you're there for critiquing and coaching if the opportunity arises where they ask, or you're on the bench or whatever else, but all you are on game day is a fan and a supporter of your kid. Mm-hmm. And if on game day you're screaming at your kid from the sideline,
that's not my
style.
For you.
That's not my style.
Yeah. Like, who are you really here for? Is this to live out some fantasy you didn't get to have as a child? Are you like trying to live through your child vicariously, or do you really care that much? Like, I don't know. I can't imagine talking to my child the way some of these parents on a sideline were barking at their kids in a competitive, zone, I guess. Yeah.
I think the last thing I'd say is just like, I saw something recently and I've been thinking about this a lot. I'm going to just go two things to share real quick, just because these are things that have been on my mind a lot. Number one is never be too tired for your kids. And that can be to this or it can be to other things, but it's just like, man, it's tired as it gets when your kids say, hey, will you go throw a ball with me or whatever. They want to do something with you. And listen, I'm not the best at it. We all, like, I could improve, but like, I really want to try to reinforce that. That's a Jesse Isler thing. Mm-hmm. Never be too tired for your kids. I work on that. That's tough. The other thing is that our job is to be our kids' biggest supporters and biggest cheerleaders. And, you know, I don't think that means that we can't critique them. We can't teach them obviously hard lessons and stuff, but I don't know. In some cases, I just think that's good to have in the back of my mind, at least, mm-hmm. of like, I need to be a fan and not always focused on making them improve. That's something I've been working on.
Yeah. There's a quote that I heard that was like, it takes 10 attaboys to undo one like harsh critique. You know, and so just make sure you aren't always harping on your kids, that you're, you know, supporting them also. Cause I feel like it gets easy to be like, oh, you missed that, or where were you on this or whatever. But, you know, make sure you're also balancing it with, you did a great job at doing this. You did a great job at doing that.
Okay. Another Jesse Itzler thing when it comes to kids' sports, and then I'm done.
Okay.
Okay. He talks about how you always applaud the effort. You don't applaud the outcome. So he talks about how when his kids get in the car, instead of saying like, oh, you scored a goal, mm-hmm. he doesn't really acknowledge the goal. He acknowledges the fact that they were running their ass off and that they were working hard and they working with their teammates. I think that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Applaud the effort, not the outcome.
Yeah. That's lost on so many parents these days when it comes to competitive sports, especially, that right there, I think is lost.
I think if I could go back and undo everything I said for the last however many minutes, I would say that that's probably the most important thing. Applaud the effort, not the outcome.
I love it. So we'll just leave that one.
And just delete everything else?
Right there. No.
Just kidding. Go ahead.
All right, let's go to the next one. Now this one, it's kind of deep. Okay. This one says, my brother and sister-in-law are getting divorced after 15 years together. They have 2 kids, an 8-year-old girl and a 6-year-old boy. My sister-in-law also was my best friend and matron of honor in my wedding. My sister-in-law was having an affair, told my brother she wanted a divorce, and moved out of the house within 6 weeks of telling him she wanted a divorce. I'm obviously upset by this and my heart hurts for my brother and the kids, but how do I move on with my relationship with my soon-to-be ex-sister-in-law? I mean, she was my best friend and my sister for 15 years. I'm 33. My brother and my sister-in-law are 35 and 36. I know I will never forgive her on the cheating aspect, but how do I go about talking to her, seeing her at sporting events for the kids, et cetera, from now on? I am lost because I feel like she just up and quit the family when she was basically my big sister. Any advice? Sincerely, hurt and lost.
That's a wild one. You go first.
Well, first of all, I'm sorry that you're going through that, because that is a really shitty situation. And I think it's important to acknowledge that what the sister-in-law did was really selfish, and it put you guys all in this really awkward position. But at the end of the day, like, that was her choice. And so she's going to have to live with the consequences, whether you choose to stay friends with her or not. So, I guess, I don't know. I mean, were you guys friends before? I mean, I don't know. Gosh, it doesn't even matter. Like, being friends for 15 years, they were married for 15 years. It sounds like maybe she's having like a midlife crisis or something. And I feel like there's a little context missing, like,
for sure,
what drove her to do that? Like, not to say that that's the brother's fault, but like, how happy were they? Were they really happy? Were they putting on this front that they were really happy? Or did you kind of see this coming? Like, did it come out of left field? I don't know. I guess where I would start, if I was in your shoes, my loyalty would be probably to my brother. And I would ask how he's feeling about it all, and if he would be upset if you stayed friends with her. And then if he understands that, you know, you really want to have both friendships or both relationships, like in a relationship with the brother and with the friend, then I don't know. I feel like your loyalty should be to your brother first. And if it really upsets him that you're friends with her, well, then that's her fault. You know, that's her, she made her bed. She's going to have to lie in it. But I also realize that would be a really hard thing for you, because you're her best friend. Also, she's your best friend. You guys are like sisters. I mean, you can't just turn those relationships off.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a lot of context missing. I'm probably not the best piece of advice giver on this, because I, what's the word? I don't want to say this and say I'm heartless, but I can lack compassion when it comes to shutting somebody off in a relationship. Like, it's just who I am. Like, I can be like, oh, okay, well, I don't want to talk to that person ever again, and I'm good. Mm-hmm. And I won't, it won't like eat me alive. And like, so I don't like, I, this might be weird advice. Okay. But I would just say, navigate it. Do you want to be friends with her or do you not? How's it going to affect your brother? Like, I would say this, figure out what you want to do and then go that route. And I'd try to be, keep it civil. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I go that route. I wouldn't let it eat you alive for the next 3, 6, 10 months, 100 months. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
I wonder if
is.
The sister-in-law has apologized to the sister, or if she's like showing no remorse, because that would be really hard for me.
I agree.
If like, just for example, like, I'm trying to put myself in these shoes, but like, if my brother's wife did this, then how would I feel? I mean, I don't know. Like, if she was my best friend, that would be really,
I think it comes
really
down
to swallow.
A direct, if you want to still be friends with her, I think it comes down to a really direct communication, mm-hmm. meaning go have lunch with her and say, hey, I just want to talk about everything. And like, I don't know that there's so many dynamics of the relationship. I think that's what I would probably do. I'd go have lunch with her. I'd talk to your brother. And
yeah. I wonder how the rest of the family feels too. Like, are the parents
scorn and like crazy, or is it like, Jenny was a nice girl. You know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it sucks too that there are kids involved, because obviously you're going to keep seeing the kids. So you're going to end up still seeing her. So I don't know. I think the best option is to go about it civilly, but that might just take time, because people's feelings are hurt, and the sister-in-law is going to have to accept that, because she's the one that kind of created this mess. And so if you need to take a break from the friendship and be like, listen, I just need to think about some things, then maybe that'll kind of open her eyes to be like, okay, my actions have consequences, not just to my husband, but my best friend and sister-in-law and my in-laws, you know? And like, I think that's more her problem, necessarily the writer.
When we hear these and we give advice, it's what I think about is like, I wonder what they're going to think of that advice. Like, I hope it was good. And sometimes I think they're probably going to be like, no, you don't get it because of this. So I guess I just say as much context as possible is helpful for our opinions on this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're writing for some advice, like, you know, include as much as you can, but that situation sucks though. I understand being hurt and lost and upset. And I think the first thing you ought to do is check on your brother and see how he feels about everything. And it's, I mean, if your brother and you are close anyway, but that's a shitty situation. I'm sorry you're dealing with that.
Everybody there better check themselves before they wreck themselves.
Amen. Okay. Well, I have one more. Are you ready?
No, we've done plenty. Let's go down to the true crime episode.
Are you sure?
Yes.
This one's good. I think you're going to like it.
We'll do another Mama Minute with that one. Mama, mystery, out.
Okay. Bye.
I liked that ending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Make another smart choice with AutoQuote Explorer to compare rates from multiple car insurance companies all at once. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates. Not available in all states and situations. Prices may vary on how you buy.